This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you decent podcasts since 2013.
Hey, everybody, this is Mike.
And this is Tim.
And we're from Mike and Tim Visit Earth, and we have a very special announcement. December 18th at 8 p.m., we are doing our very first live podcast.
You've never seen anything like this. You have no idea what's in store. I'm going to be smashing my face in bread. My ex-girlfriends are going to be fighting for my love. It's going to be ridiculous.
There's going to be a lot of glitz, a lot of glamour, and it's all going to take place at Stand Up New York Comedy Club on the Upper West Side. Again, that's December 18th, 8 p.m. Holy shit, this is going to be a New York Times article level of explosives.
We'll see you there. That's 37 seconds.
Perfect.
Hello. It's time for the End of Conversation Podcast. Funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, in the conversation. Yeah. This is Damian Lemon.
And this is Ali Muhammad, the voice of your choice.
What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Everything's good, man. Shit, we here. I've been chilling.
Yeah.
You know, man. I've been trying to wind this shit down. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I've been really trying to close out all open projects.
Right.
So I could go into this last few weeks of 2017 in a very contemplative mode. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that.
And then kick, you know what I'm saying? Just come in strong as opposed to running out of 2017. Like usual, like you just shooting and working and, you know what I'm saying, doing shit all the way until woohoo, goddamn.
Busting through the tank.
You know what I'm saying? So I wanna ease on through the last few days of this shit.
Have some reflection.
Yeah, have a little reflection. Reflection.
Reflection.
And, you know, they say the Mercury is in retrograde, so.
I feel like they always say that shit. I feel like I'm always the last one to know, too.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's usually a time. They say that's supposed to be a time of reflection. I don't really know. Like I say, we talk about this all the time.
Right.
I notice it. I know it's there. I don't really know too much. I haven't did much studying on it, but. You know, they say you're supposed to reflect during that time.
Get your reflection on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, it is a holiday season too.
Yeah, man. Even though I don't celebrate Christmas, but I'm pretty excited.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, around my way, you know, I got a 17-year-old. This is last childhood, you know what I'm saying, holiday.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? He out the door. You know what I mean? He'll be 18 and, you know what I mean? He might not come home for the holidays.
Nah, he gonna come back.
I know he coming back, but you know, that's
gonna be different.
That's a possibility. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm gonna go over with my girlfriend, right, or I'm gonna go with my roommate to such and such town. You know what I'm saying? Shit, I started skipping holidays after college. During college, I started skipping holidays. Like, I don't think I've been to Miami for Thanksgiving since freshman year.
Wow. You know what I mean? Just up the block.
It ain't up the block. It was closer to go to Atlanta. That's when I started going to Atlanta. Because, you know, it's a short weekend. Then you're going to go home in like 3 weeks anyway. So instead of driving 6 to 8 hours to Miami, it was easy to just shoot to Atlanta with my roommate for 4 hours.
Is that far? Tallahassee's far?
Yeah, that's far from Miami.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, that's a long-ass drive.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you used to hitting it, but if you got a choice, all right, I must do this a little short weekend.
Right.
To go to the A.
Right.
And once I went the first time, I was like, shit, I'm going every time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice little option, too.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my roommate, Terrence Crooks. You know what I'm saying? He introduced me to Atlanta.
It's tough to hit both holidays when you're in college, too, especially if you're far away. Thanksgiving always is the one that kind of, it's the one that typically gets the cut.
Right.
Because Christmas is bundled with that New Year situation.
Right. And it's a longer scenario.
Yeah.
It's usually a week or two, you know.
You really stunting if you're doing Thanksgiving, then coming back for Christmas.
Right.
That's big.
Right. So, wow. So you know, it's that era where, you know, this is last one as a kid. He might get to sit at the grown folks table in a couple years.
In a couple years? When is it? When? At what point do you graduate to the grown folks table? Is it college?
Depending on your maturity.
Really?
It's your maturity.
Could you be at the grown folks table as a high schooler if you that mature?
Yes, I had a cousin. My cousin Des. She was at the grown folks table, seemed like from middle school. She was just grown. Like, you know what I mean? She just had a maturity level of an adult as a kid. So she always ran with the grown aunts and uncles. Uh-huh. She never really hung out with the,
I'm about to ask,
the kids.
Was like there that. Any resentment?
Nah, because everybody knew she was pretty much grown.
it was just accepted.
Yeah, she just was a grown person.
She's not even fronting. That's just her. That's her community.
And then it wasn't a real middle. So I was pretty much, like, it was a bunch of us. So I had aunts that crossed over with the same age as my older sister.
Right.
And then that cousin there, she was probably like a year or two older than me. Mm-hmm. And then in my little space, I was pretty much the only one at that age. Mm-hmm. Then it was like 2-3 years under me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? She really couldn't hang with the girls that was under her.
Right.
So she had to hang up. And then I just hung out with my uncle who was 5 years older. So
but you didn't get any grown folk table.
Nah, we didn't really hang around enough to try to even be at the grown folks table. We was trying to be outside.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because the grown folks table really was ran by the women. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it was like the woman's table.
Okay.
And then we were trying to go outside. We trying to be outdoors. Mm. Somewhere, you know, out.
In yonder.
Front. Yeah, out yonder. All
right.
Out of view, out of sight, out of mind.
That's what's up.
So, you know what I'm saying? So there are exceptions to the grown folk rule. But I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't think my son, he ain't make that cut.
So how you going to make it special? This is his
I don't
last
know. That's
one.
That's the, what I'm thinking about. That's why I need to contemplate. That's why I need to get all this work out the way so I could figure out how to make it, you know what I'm saying, make it stick. Because it's my son and my niece, they're both 17.
Right.
So this both of them last hurrah. And they, you know what I'm saying, they quietly trying, both of them trying to go to Howard, so we'll see how that plays.
Why you say it's a scheme? Like,
No, because at first, you know, he wasn't thinking about Howard like that,
yeah.
So she came with the, you know, it'll be nice if we both went to Howard.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Which
I was like, you know, that's a good idea. You know what I'm saying?
For the first 2 years.
Nah, actually, I went to school with my cousin.
Yeah.
And it was dope.
Yeah, we're cool. Yeah, all the way through, hung out
all
the
way through, because she was way different than me, and I hung out a lot. I was out. I was outdoors, of course.
Okay.
And she was real grown.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Not the same cousin. Actually, that same cousin ended up coming to Florida State a couple of years later.
Mm-hmm.
But this my cousin, Dondra. She was just real mature. She was in pharmacy, so they always had homework and shit, and always cooked like real grown folk. You know what I'm saying? Adult meals and shit. While, you know, you're in a college scenario eating hamburgers and, you know what I'm saying, making sandwiches and shit.
What they cooking? Baked macaroni
and cooking
cheese?
Baked chicken and, you know, macaroni. Nah, they ain't, you know, like, they had mac and cheese, but like homemade mac and cheese and vegetables and shit.
Yeah.
Making some real lemonade.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We still got Kool-Aid over there and
right.
shit. You know? So it was always good to have the cousin there, you know what I'm saying, to have a little family environment, but you still in college.
Wow. A little home.
Yeah, a little bit of home, you know what I'm saying, while you out wilder.
So, let me ask you this, though. I know you said that this is your firstborn's last childhood holiday. Now, is this a realization that you came to, or is this something that he spoke to?
Nah, this is something I just thought of, you know what I'm saying?
And how do you feel? Do you feel like this your firstborn about to go away?
Yeah.
Do you feel some sentimentality? You feel a little, what's talk to
Well,
me?
You know, it's like this, as an, you know, I didn't really understand this as a kid, but as an adult, as a parent,
right?
You know what I'm saying? You know, it's always that, like, damn, you're out of time, and it's like, I wish I had done so much more.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, You got the one that's going off like, damn, he gonna miss out on a lot. that, you know what I'm saying? That hasn't happened yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That you wasn't able to put in front of them before they left the crib. So,
right.
You know what I'm saying? You had that.
Uh-huh.
But then you also have, like, you know, it ain't over. You know what I'm saying? I'm pops. So
right.
I need to make that environment that kids want to come back to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Bring the grandkids around. You know what
right.
I mean? So you need to start setting that up as well.
Right.
So I remember, when I went to college, you know, my pops was, you know, he was cool motherfucker. He ain't really show no emotions or no shit like that.
Right.
He just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when he dropped me off at school, we was at Kentucky Fried Chicken or something. He was just acting weird the whole time. Like,
yeah, this Mac 10 bag?
Nah, he, oh, okay. He was just us, you know okay. what I'm saying? So we was walking through campus. He's like, hey, you ain't going to speak? I'm like, I don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
But they was speaking to you. Like, I don't know them.
Right.
Like, why you, who, you don't speak to nobody? Like, what is going on with you?
He tried to move you into this new society.
What is going on with you? So we went to KFC, and you know how you get to a table, and you could, and there's two tables.
Right.
And you could either sit right across from each other, or right. you could sit next to each other.
Yeah.
So I sat next to him.
Right.
So he felt some kind of way. He was like, oh, why you ashamed to be with your father? You in college now? I'm like, I'm sitting right next to you. Like, if right. you was my homeboy, this is the same shit I would do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then I thought about it. I'm like, he must be getting sad.
Right. Which is the most vulnerable emotion for the black man. He getting sad. Are you sad? Keep going.
I'm thinking to myself, he getting all sentimental. But then, you know, as a grown person now.
Right.
About to be in that position, I understand it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's more than just, you're not just sad that, you know, your kid going away, because you want them to go away. It's a mix of, damn, this shit rushed up on me so motherfucking fast, I ain't even ready for it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And as well as, damn, I got to send them out in the world to write, you know what I'm saying? You know, with the tools. But, you know, you don't get to set all of the things that you wanted to do. You don't get that the opportunity to say, you know, hold up, let me put all these other things in play.
Mm.
When the time come, you know what I'm saying? It's the buzzer, it's bam, time up, you know what I'm saying? So that was, at that buzzer, that was his childhood.
Right, there it is.
Whatever happened in them, between, you know what I'm saying, birth and then, that was it.
Look at the box scores.
You know what I'm saying?
He did all right.
He did okay. He had to, you dropped the ball right there, but you know.
Yeah.
Hey, what you going to do?
Wow.
So you really, what you be doing is you looking at, you doing the box score on yourself. Like, damn.
Right.
I did this, I did that. I fucked up on that. You know what I'm saying? Damn, I ain't had that in place.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a mix of you seeing them go off. You know what I'm saying? You looking at yourself in the mirror like, damn, I didn't finish certain things. And, you know, you had to deal with that.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what, so I'm pretty excited about putting something together. I don't know what it is. Well,
that's what's up.
Hope you don't listen to the podcast.
Oh, man. I see you out there, you know, fathering though, man. I saw you at the
say fathering.
Fathering. You're out there fathering, sir. I see you at the, what was it, Target First Saturdays?
Yeah. You know, it was First Saturdays at the Brooklyn Museum.
Everyday People, right?
Everyday People was there this time.
How was it?
It was cool, man. I ain't really get to see much of it. I planned to go in and, you know what I'm saying, mix it up with you know what I'm saying, with the youngins.
Right.
But I got in there, and I was meeting my man Mosito from South Africa. He moved here now, him and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran into them, and then we got to chopping it up then. Then my wife caught up with me with the kids, so we was all there. And then, you know, we pretty much posted. We took a picture, and once we took that picture, everybody started passing by that we knew, and it ended up being like a little, you know what I'm saying, a little cipher right there in that one spot.
Right.
Before you knew it, it was over.
You had your little post up.
Yeah, so we was posted up for most of the time. I didn't even get a chance to, you know what I'm saying, do the walkthrough or a lap or nothing.
Right.
So we just stood in that one spot, saw a bunch of good people, man, and had a good time.
Yeah, it looked like it was popping.
Yeah, it was. It was popping, man. Yeah. You know, Everyday People bring out that you know what I'm saying, that eclectic mix,
right.
You know what I'm saying, of all kinds of flavors and shit. So
right.
It's always interesting because it's young, but then it has range. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just like you go to a young joint and it just feel like, oh, I'm in this motherfucker. These, you know, it's just one type of kid. But with Everyday People, it's a range of different kinds of flavors, and you looking at a whole bunch of things, and you're like, okay, that's what they doing now. Okay, mm-hmm. okay, all right. Then plus it's the regular museum,
mm-hmm.
so you got regular people, like other people who just gonna come anyway. Then you, what's funny about the Brooklyn Museum is a lot of cats, you know, they, you could tell they from the hood, like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, like hood cats, they still come through.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was a cat came through, well, had a do-rag, had all kind of motherfucking, looked like Swarovski crystals in that motherfucker.
Wow.
I had never seen a do-rag like that. I was like, that's a fancy-ass do-rag.
There's a, speaking of fancy-ass do-rags, I forget the name of the company, maybe New Do or something like that. But they do these like fancy ass do rags,
and you're a celebratory do rag guy.
I mean, I celebrated Do Rag History Month, yeah, just because it was such a.
You introduced me to Do Rag History Month. Did you create it?
Nah, I don't know who created that. I think first person I saw do it was my man Carlos Miller. Shout out to him, real funny ass comedian. And then B Dot Brian Miller, mm-hmm. they're do rag enthusiasts. You know what I mean? But I seen this one do-rag company where they doing these fly little choices. It's kind of crazy. And speaking of that, just on the do-rag tangent,
mm-hmm.
there's this cat on Instagram. You ever see this cat on Instagram? Down Goes Frazier?
No.
Oh, man. He's hilarious, man. There's so many funny motherfuckers that pop up on Instagram.
So what's up with Down Goes Frazier?
First time I think I seen him, he had this shit where... He walk around like in a pink silk robe, you know what I mean? Like just saw some, his whole shit is, he trying to style, right? He trying to style on niggas. His whole shit is, it's different. So there's one video I see the nigga, he got this little, he got a pink satin robe on with a airplane pillow on his neck because he fly, you know what I mean? At all times or some shit like that. So he got his do-rag on. He unravels his do-rag, take the shit off, snatch it off, it's another do-rag. Snatch that shit off, it's another do-rag. Snatch that shit off, it's like the Russian teacup joints.
Right.
But he's just one of these funny Instagram motherfuckers that be on some funny shit. You should check him out, Down Goes Frazier.
Well, I'm checking him out.
But you were saying something about do-rags. We got into that.
No,
shit.
And I was just saying there was a lot of, you know, it's a lot of different people come through there, and it was a cat came through with a super mm-hmm. fancy-ass do-rag.
It's a moment, man, when you get to go to that shit. It's nice.
Yeah,
it's
nice. It is nice. We've been going for a minute because at my wife's old job, they help, you know what I'm saying, bring people to it. Like, so they used to do the little trolley thing, roll it through the hood, and you get on the trolley, come get a free ride to the museum.
That's nice.
So when she was doing that, we would just go because she had to work.
Right.
It was free. You know what I'm saying?
It's a trolley. I mean,
you know, we have a good time in it. So it became part of
whimsy in this bitch.
Became part of what we did sometimes on the first Saturday.
Yeah, that's
family,
cool.
You know what I'm saying? That was like one of our first family functions.
That's cool. That's cool. You gotta keep it going. That's mm-hmm. the shit. You can start a fuck out of a function or a tradition.
Well, yeah, that's tradition, what it's all about, man. Rituals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Shit, we got 12 months. You know what I'm saying? And if you program that shit right, you know, you got a life.
This your fourth quarter, as you said. This is the last, 3 months out this 12?
It's the last month out the 12.
Well, you know, I meant the fourth quarter is the last three. I'm sorry, guys. I'm looking at the paper.
We on the last 27 now.
Yeah, I guess it's about to be all the way a wrap again. Oh, shit. Damn it.
I mean, you feel good about your year?
I feel good. I mean, you know, I was listening to you earlier when you were saying, you know, you try to get a little bit more contemplative. I find myself in a similar space, right? Like trying to reflect the shit, see, take everything into account, the wins, the losses, the attempts, shit like that. And then also try to be like, try to have like a settled energy. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because you could get so caught up in like grind culture that, you know, you feel as though, like I saw somebody tweet, yo, this is the first day of the last month of 2017. Have you made your mark yet? What's your buzzer beater? Or some dramatic shit like that. And I get it. It's cool. It speaks to a certain... You know, certain spirit or whatever, but at the same time, sometimes you might need to just sit and reflect and not feel no guilt about sitting fucking still.
You can't feel guilt about none of that shit what you do when you're out here, because that's the shit that fuck you up. Because if you stop to think that, oh shit, man, I got to be here, I got to be there, I got to be doing some shit, and it ain't in your program, then shit, that shit gonna fuck you up, and you gonna, it's gonna end up putting that little burn in your stomach, like, ah, oh, man, right, I ain't doing it how I'm supposed to be doing it, when really you might just need to be working on your next step.
Right.
Instead of, you know what I'm saying, just out there running. Like somebody said, don't mistake activity for accomplishment, you know?
Right. Right.
Just cause you moving around don't mean you actually getting to your goal.
Yeah.
And that's the shit that I be fucking up with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm king 24-hour grind, you know what I'm saying? And I had to change, because you'll end up just doing a bunch of shit because you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But then in the end, it ain't in the direction. All of it don't be going in the same direction. So you end up pretty much in the same spot, because you went out this way and out that way and did this shit over here. And now you back. Like, oh, shit, I was supposed to be doing this. You know what I'm saying? But you've been hustling. You've been grinding. You've been doing shit. But it ain't getting you to, it ain't getting you closer to where you want to be.
Right.
You just been doing shit. And that's the shit what you don't want to do.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to have a purpose.
You got a purpose. You just got to stay on your shit and go in the direction that you set out to go. Because the distraction's going to come. That's automatic. Especially if you start popping just a little bit with your shit.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody go, hey, oh shit, I see you over there doing that. Hey, my man got this, or I got this. You know what I'm saying? You know, we can put it together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then you be off doing that. And then you be off doing some other shit. And it's a check. It's some money or whatever. But then you come back to your shit, realize, damn, I done left my shit. You know what I'm saying?
I neglected
my shit. They about to take my damn dream to the foster house.
Well, speaking of distraction, I'm thinking about getting me a 4K TV.
I'm looking.
Why
at
is that?
You know what's funny? I don't even know if I particularly want a 4K TV.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't like how the 4K really looks. It makes shit look like old porno.
Like it looks like the USA Network.
It looks real and stage play, cheap scene.
And it'd be a movie you saw that looked real good. Like,
right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I saw this shit in the movies. It looked great. I saw it on Netflix. It looked great.
I'm confused,
like,
now.
Why they moving like that?
You thinking it's a whole different, like, is this a whole different version? It's just that's on the TV.
Right.
Now, that's what's kind of kept me from it, right? But I feel not no pressure, but I feel like I'm falling behind on the TV wave. You know how certain technology waves start, right? You know, God forbid you was that motherfucker with the flip phone.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, oh shit, wait a minute, how did this happen? You know what I mean? You was the motherfucker with the fat back TV. Wait a minute, what's up? Right, y'all don't right, do that right. No more? Y'all right. got your VCR on top of your TV no more? That's over? I'm antiquated? So I've been going to a couple people's houses that got the 4K.
Mm-hmm.
Again, visually, I don't like it. It's not the best thing. It looks weird. What I do like, though, is I like the integration the TV provides. It's like, it's almost like having an iPhone as a TV.
Right.
And there's some pros and some cons to that.
No doubt.
Now, that shit, you know, shit's listening.
Exactly.
Old listening-ass television.
Old listening-ass TV. And just like an old listening-ass phone.
Everything listening. You know what I mean?
Old
at this
smart
point,
this, smart that.
Yeah.
I need a dumb-ass TV.
I need word. Because I'm afraid. What are you listening to? What the fuck? And what's going to happen? What happens if you go to court and Siri is
testifying against you.
Ain't this a bitch?
Alexa and Siri and Samsung smart TV.
It was a whole case.
These smart motherfuckers on the stand.
Nigga, your microwave was smart.
So
you didn't know.
So Siri, on the night of December 13th, 2017.
You talk, uh-huh.
D. Lemon said he was at a comedy show.
That nigga won't know where that is.
So you're saying that he wasn't at a comedy show?
I'm saying that nigga was lying.
So, what would you say that Mr. Lemon was doing on that night?
Well, a nigga asked me where to get a massage. Now, it's about 1 in the morning. Now, what kind of massage you need at 1 in the morning? That's what I asked myself, but Siri don't know, ask herself no questions audibly. So, I tell the motherfucker where to go, but it's a very shady place. You know.
So he asked for a shady place, or did you just
I just relayed the information. Now, if I was looking to my GPS program in here.
What was the actual What was the actual search?
Oh, Siri, how could I get some stress out? What should I do? Some shit. I mean, you know, he sounded very backed up. You know, it's some. I don't know. You know what?
Y'all got me snitching.
Siri, what the fuck you talking about? Siri, what the fuck?
My bad.
I thought you was by my side.
Oh shit! You ain't talking. This nigga's gonna be in the Jerry in the damn courtroom. No. I'm Siri. I got to get the fuck out of here.
No more questions, Your Honor.
Shit.
You and that bitch with Meek Mill. Hell
yeah. Hold on, wait a minute.
Yeah, oh shit. Yeah, nah, man.
I don't think I ain't jumping to the smart TV yet.
Mm.
But let me tell you, what I liked about the smart TV was it reminded me of shit that I forgot about.
What's that?
Cause you could, like, I do fuck with YouTube, but when you watch YouTube or your laptop, it's a different situation. Sometimes I watch on the Apple TV. Mm. But the seamless quality, I started watching videos.
Right.
Shout out to my man Sox Diddy. He's a video curator. Mm. You know what I mean?
Socks Diddy.
Like
S-O-X or?
S-O-X.
Okay, like white, you know. Socks.
Mm-hmm. But black as fuck. But he play a lot of videos. Shit that I had never seen. Just putting me up on wild videos that came out. Have you seen any Migos videos? Have you seen any? Cause,
I mean, not since white t-shirt.
Nigga.
What?
Migos got some interesting, like some hellified videos. Watch the video, I think Bad and Bougie.
Yeah,
but
that.
Watch the Slippery video. Oh. That shit is fantastic. In 4K, it's out of here. The Migos.
So where did you see this in 4K?
I was watching it at the nigga's house. Was watching chopping it up. Yeah, he played.
Oh, that's why you on TV.
I was like, yo, this
Migos.
Shit.
See,
Migos
see,
did it.
That's how they Atlanta down strip.
That's all
you.
They did it. They brought
they
it to the
all
television.
The products.
Hell yeah. They was like, shit. But no, it was cool, man, seeing that. And then what other shit can you do? You know, you could play music and shit like that. Mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to get it, honestly. Honestly, I mean, you know, I was just thinking about it, honestly, because, again, I still don't like how the shit look. You know what I mean? Right. But I do
ain't
want...
no option. You had to watch that shit in 4K?
That's what, you know, it's so funny. That's what my lady said. She said, can you turn the 4K down? My thing is, why buy a 4K TV to turn the shit down? I figured that this...
Because you might want to watch Slippery in 4K, but not... the damn
not the
movie.
News
you know,
not watch the movie in 4K.
I don't know do all movies look like that in the 4K?
It feels like it. All movies look different in the 4K.
The shit look crazy.
It looked like they didn't have a budget,
like Law and Order or some shit.
It looked like the budget was slim.
I saw Jason Bourne in 4K on a TV. I was like, this shit looks like trash.
Was it trash? I don't know.
Just the look, just that what you talk about, looking like you know what I'm saying, like video camera, USA TV quality.
Right.
Even though it's supposed to be a higher quality, I don't know what the fuck, why the shit looks so stiff.
I don't know. I don't understand the appeal of that. I don't understand the appeal of that. Matthew, do you know what we're talking about, or?
Yeah, you kind of get like a weird quality when you're just watching films on 4K TV.
Right.
It's just, like, I feel like maybe if you watch it long enough, you'd adjust to it, but...
You will. This is what's scary. That's technology anyway. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, this mad shit, like, CD quality... I mean, albums sound better than CDs. CDs sound better than MP3s. But it's convenience. It's technology. And then you just become used to what you get. You know what I mean? And it is. The more you watch the shows, that's what had me saying... Am I going to have to just go with the flow? You know what I'm saying? Am I going to have this old ass whatever you what's the term? You know, some analog ass TV?
No, cuz
that's what happens. You start getting technology shamed. My thing is, I'm surprised enough people aren't saying, "Yo, this shit look weird." What the fuck? Like, typically that's always been what people have talked about, like I guess local news or whatever. That's cool. That's HD. That's realistic.
But why Goodfellas look weird now? Why does Goodfellas look like...
Yeah, I don't want Goodfellas to look weird. Like, National Geographic, I could accept being
That's
weird.
That's cool.
Discovery TV, I could accept that
being
weird.
You're supposed to be
outside. Yeah, I could accept that being weird. But the movie that you already saw...
Right.
With the film quality and all that shit... What did they do? Just do some type of fucking procedure on the shit?
I don't know. I'm wondering... I'm surprised not enough directors have been saying, yo, what the fuck? Actually, I think I did hear a lot of directors don't like the new TVs. I've been hearing that.
A lot of actors don't like it, for sure.
Scorsese, you cool with Spike. Hit us. Let us know. No, nah, I know y'all cool. Y'all pieced it up for the New Year's and shit. Muhammad and Spike spoke offline, maybe. But it's good now.
Telepathically.
You know what I mean? But it's good now. It's been resolved.
Put energy in the app.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Resolved it. Shit, man. What else cracking, man?
What else is going on, man? I had a fucking ramen burger.
What the fuck? It's a ramen burger.
It's bullshit. I mean,
how does that even compute?
It don't compute. It's funny because it's like, from the door, you realize, like, this sounds ridiculous. But it's that same ridiculousness that draws you in. I get drawn in by...
What color is it?
Ridiculous shit. What color is the burger?
Yeah, what color is a ramen? It's just flavor, ramen flavor?
No.
Or is it made out of ramen?
Oh, you never seen a ramen burger before?
I don't know what the fuck a ramen burger is.
Let me talk to you about
it. That's what I thought we were doing. We was in the conversation.
This is it. But I didn't know where we started. I'm assuming that the listener knows what a ramen burger is.
I don't know.
It's true, because I put it on the IG stories that I got a lot of, yo, what's that? What the hell? Da, 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 da. All right, here we go.
Bet.
So it's a hamburger. There's the meat patty. They got ramen turkey burger, and I think there's even a ramen vegetable burger.
Oh, so it's actually meat patty.
Right. Okay. I feel like if you're going to go ramen burger, let's not get particular at this point. Let's not pump fake with a vegan ramen burger. It's terrible any way you look at it.
Okay, I thought it was vegan situation.
So the patty is ramen. So they've made patties out of ramen, and they like patty it up and grill it, char it on both sides to kind of congeal the ramen as a patty. Uh-huh. And then there's the burger on top of it with like some, I guess like some soy sauce or maybe some chives, some type of like Chinese type of, maybe a mirin, I think, I don't know. So when this shit came,
I made it. Come on, bread?
No, the bread is the ramen. The ramen is the bread.
Okay, cool.
Right,
cool.
So it's a ramen burger.
All right.
Eating a burger between two pieces of ramen bread.
We getting it now.
Okay, right. So you see what it is, right? Yeah. It's very other shit, right? Some different shit, right? So this came out maybe about 3, maybe 4 years ago. I remember it being a big thing at these little food festivals, like, what was the shit that they had up in... And they had one out there in Brooklyn, some type of fest, like Smorgasbord Fest, all of those type of things. And it was like it was the thing to get. It was like the new fucking, the new Cronut type of sensation. Right. Oh, have you heard the ramen burger? It was one of those.
Was it a line to get it?
Yeah, it was. Lines were stupid. That's why I didn't get it until about 3 years later. So let's fast forward to this weekend, right? So I go, I go to Brooklyn Flea, to the Smorgasbord, and at the back of the Brooklyn Flea, there's a kiosk, I guess, or whatever, like a little restaurant, pop-up restaurant. Ramen burger, you know what I mean? Not one line of this. not one motherfucker online. This shit all the way at the back. But I'm like, I this is my quest. And it was funny because prior to me getting there, I was like, do I need to be going to get me a fucking ramen burger? Dude, what's going on, man? At what point are you going to stop doing this bullshit? You know what I'm saying? Like, at what point?
So what was the rebuttal? What was the rebuttal voice?
Nigga, you only live once. YOLO. You know what I'm saying? It was like, motherfucker, you done came this far. Because I was already in Brooklyn. It was like, you done came this far. So I said, fuck it. Let me go ahead and do this shit. Let me run up in there. I get to the counter. I told you there's no line. This shit is all the way at the back of the flea market. And there's two people sitting there. Black dude, black girl, they both, neither one of them look like they even eat meat.
let alone the ramen burger.
What, they have dreads or something?
I mean, just what you said.
I'm asking. Yeah, look, how do you look like you don't eat meat?
Yeah, look, they just got a lot of vegan energy. Little shea butter energy. but not judgmental. Not right. Like, damn, right. Brother. But right. I felt, I'm projecting.
They worked there?
Yeah, they was the motherfuckers.
They can't project on you. They can't judge you. They work.
Nah, but there's often that happens when you at like a bullshit place to eat and you say, yo, so what you think of this? Oh, you know, I don't eat meat. Right. You're like, what the fuck do you work at Shake Shack or wherever the fuck? And you don't eat meat. That shit is always weird to me. So anyway, but they chill. Right. I'm throwing this, so this is my own shit.
Right.
So they fix it up. I make the ramen burger joint. And then I go up to the little cafeteria area where you can sit down and shit. And I take a bite of this shit. And hey, it was everything that you probably should have known. You know what I mean? My thing was, I figured there was going to be some type of misdirection. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I figured, all right, a ramen burger, this shit sound like some bullshit. But the twist is, it probably tastes crazy. You know how you say, yo, put some ice cream or french fries. Ice cream or french fries? That's weird. Nah, try it. Ooh, it's crazy. You thought it was going to be one of those moments.
Right.
Nah, that shit is ramen with a weird-ass burger that the burger patty ain't, like, if it's flame broiled or anything, that shit is done well earlier than but when you get it, because they pull that shit out of like a little like a little pot of burgers.
Cafeteria.
Yeah, the whole shit is, you don't even want to see a ramen burger be made. They just pull the shit.
Right.
I take about 3 bites. That shit was not what I needed in life. Oh,
man.
I spit that shit out.
In my mind, see, in college, in the ramen era, you know what I'm saying, we had a set things we get at the grocery store and shit.
Right.
We got the, you know, the hamburger patties, the chicken patties.
Right.
40 pounds of chicken.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? From the meat store. You know what I'm saying?
It's 40 ramen. Pounds of chicken?
Yeah. See, the 40 pounds of chicken costs like $25 at the meat market.
Oh, all right.
So you get a box. That's like when you go and do a cookout.
Right.
You go get a 40-pound box of chicken quarters.
You got to have a plan when you get 40 pounds of anything, though.
Well, right? But if you got three dudes living in the crib, the plan is to have food for the month.
So y'all was really that disciplined to do like meat plan? None of that shit was spoiled?
Nah, you put the shit in the freezer. What are you saying?
Once I put some shit in the freezer, I might as well put that shit in the trash because it's over. Nah. I'm not throwing that shit. I'm not waiting on a fucking chicken thigh to throw for 3 hours. Oh, then
you ain't trying to survive.
I guess not. That's why we survived off of ramen.
We was
3 minutes.
Nah, it was discipline. So
Go ahead.
We bought shit. We went once a month to get real groceries.
Yeah.
So that shit lasts a month. The leg quarters, you separate them, you clean them, you get all the fat shit off of them, and you put them in the Ziplocs, and they on a little separate thing. So when you pull the Ziploc out, it's enough to make the meal.
This shit should have got you to the grown folks table. This is grown folk table shit. Who's doing some shit like this in undergrad? I love it. Keep going.
So, but it's some regular ass shit. We ain't had real food like my cousin now. We has had this bullshit. So on the ramen,
right.
You know what I'm saying? When we get to the patties, like, you might make some hamburgers and shit, but when you're making a hamburger meal,
right?
You got the ramen,
right?
You know what I'm saying? You got your little frozen peas or whatever the fuck, or whatever little vegetables and shit.
Yeah.
And then you make the little hamburger patty. Sometimes you put it in the bread. Sometimes you chop that shit up and put it in the ramen.
Right.
With the motherfucking peas and a little butter, and you know what I'm saying? You
little shepherd's pie.
Extra season on the shit. So I thought you was gonna say it kind of tastes like, in my mind, it tastes like that.
Nah.
A ramen burger tastes like the burger and ramen that we used to make.
I think what fucked it up was the burger and the soy sauce. Something didn't click.
Right.
And I don't know if I'm getting the three-year-later ramen burger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Let me find out. This might not be the official ramen burger. I think it is, you know.
But that's why it wasn't no line no more 3 years later.
Well, it's played out now.
It's played
but
out.
But my thing is, was it always whack and it was just a hype? Probably.
You know it was.
Yeah.
No, it was always whack.
Speaking of some other extreme food hype, which is ridiculous, in Philly, I got this thing called the Philly Taco, which is some dumb shit I would try, but I'm beyond that shit. But I'm putting it out in the world for other people.
A Philly Taco.
So this is what it is. There's a pizza shop down on South Street called Lorenzo's. That shit is banging. That's where I broke my veganism at. Right? Shit is banging. Big ass slices. That's what they known for, but they be banging. Like big ass slices like Coronet, but they good as shit. And then what you do is go across the street to Jim's Steaks, and you get a steak. You put the steak right in the middle of the your pizza. You fold the pizza around the steak and take a bite, and that's the Philly taco. I found that shit on Vice Munchies. Yes, these are like ingenious ways to kill yourself. You don't fuck with your arteries. Try all of this shit.
What's a vegan taco. Mm-hmm. So it's the
not a vegan. Philly taco.
Philly taco. So does the steak have? Is it still in its?
It's in everything. So it's bad carved out. Yeah.
Oh hell no.
It's a lot. I mean, you could if you want to. I guess you could just
dump the steak out.
Yeah,
on
you
the
could dump your steak and out and do it just like that.
Okay, so you tried that shit?
No, I didn't try it. I said I know about it.
Oh, you knew about it. You ain't tried. I thought you tried. Okay.
I haven't been to Philly.
I was in Philly the other day.
Yeah, man, yeah. I should have told you.
No doubt.
Oh, shit.
Shit, yeah. Atlanta got a fucking Hoo-hoo. Mayoral runoff tonight.
Atlanta is...
A black lady and a white lady.
Wow.
So...
This would be the first...
Well, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's running... It's like a fear of a white Atlanta right now. Because, you know, it's real tight, a real tight race. And we're probably like... an hour or so out from knowing, but we won't know.
We'll better, know.
We won't know, I'm saying, before this show come out. We won't
know. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Shit is, if it go the wrong way, I mean, you're going to find out. First of all.
Yeah, you're going to find out.
Vote for Keisha is about the blackest voting hashtag of all time. So, that shit don't do it. That's what I'm trying to tell you, man. Wakanda is in danger.
Wakanda is in fucking danger.
Because,
hey. I mean, it's weird,
wild, different.
Like it's like because you know when they had the first election, it was maybe three or four black candidates, and
right?
Shit. And then it boiled down to the top two, which was Keisha and this other lady, Mary Nancy Norwood, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so when the mayor Kasim Reed
right
endorsed Keisha.
Mm-hmm.
The other black candidates kind of got mad, like, "Well, you know what I'm saying? Well, you ain't endorsed me, like, you know what I'm saying?" So his endorsement carried more weight. So it's like, you know, they felt like, you know what I'm saying? He caused them to lose or whatever.
Right.
So once they finished, they all fucking endorsed the
petty endorsement.
Yeah, know. The white lady.
Mm.
And then Shirley Franklin endorsed the white lady because she had one of the candidates she was endorsing.
Mm-hmm.
And Kasim went against them, so they like, you know, all right, fuck it then. We gonna go over here.
It's beef.
I'm just trying to wonder, did motherfuckers not learn nothing from Trump?
Never know.
Not saying she Trump, but they calling her Trump-like.
Trump-like? That's what they calling her?
Yeah, Trump-like. Because she did a little thing at the Young Republicans meeting or whatever, and somebody recorded it and leaked the shit.
What'd she do?
She basically was saying she's running as an independent. But she was saying, basically, I'm a Republican.
Right.
But, you know what I'm saying, in order, this is like a Democratic state and, you know, of course, like a black stronghold, you know, it makes more sense. I could get more Democratic votes if I ran as an independent than if I ran as a Republican. But I still need your Republican support, you know. And so, basically,
She's passing it.
Yeah, she's passing it. She's a Republican in progressive clothes.
Right.
So, ridiculous. So you know what I'm saying? And it just remind me just like, it's like y'all, and it's people like, you know, and everybody has their own way that they vote and all that shit, and everybody has a right to do that shit. But I would be afraid to vote for some shit like that, knowing what Trump did and right. How Trump got in office and was, you know, how wild he is with the shit.
Mm.
So, we gonna see. We'll know tomorrow.
Vote for Keisha.
We're gonna see. We're gonna see how it turn out. But well, imagine a white Atlanta.
It's different. I told you my homeboy said he went down Atlanta and looked at some spots and he was like, that shit didn't feel as black as it used to.
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, it's you know. Ah!
You know what I'm saying? No strip clubs. No Alex with no liquor license and shit.
No lemon pepper wings.
Lemon pepper wings moved to the outskirts past 285.
Yeah. Get in your car.
Yeah, the,
what else
man?
Is...
Hot 9-7 becomes cool 9-7.
Yeah.
Hot, well, one of whatever it is now.
Man, what other shit will we just miss out on?
Imagine just the whole AU Center surrounded just by, you know what I'm saying, Whole Foods and Starbucks.
Right.
And
that shit won't even stand for Atlanta University Center.
Nah, yes. You go to Spelman. It's, yeah. You know what I'm
alternative university. I don't know.
You got to live in Ellenwood just to go to AU Center and shit.
Wow. Shout out to Ellenwood. That pops up a lot in the Gucci autobiography, which I'm still
He's from
reading.
Ellenwood?
He used to live out there, yeah.
I know. First time I heard Ellenwood was Crime Mob. Nucky, they had a song called Ellenwood the Area,
Yeah, from out. That's East Atlanta.
It's southeastish.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, he from out. He kind of grew up out there a little bit. Okay. That shit, he tells a good story.
So how's the book, man?
So far, so good. It's still good. Still good. Yeah, same old.
What's the standout?
What's the standout? Just gives context to a lot of stuff. Like I said last week, I wasn't really paying a lot of attention to Gucci Mane. Speaking of which, like when we talked about Gucci Mane last week, you talked about Project Pat. Now that's his favorite rapper.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, cause he that kind of rap what he right. do is Project Pat.
And I totally forgot about, cause like I said, I know Project Pat, but I'm not like a Project Pat fan. But when I revisited some of his shit, you forget he had a singular ass flow.
Yeah, but he mixed
it
up.
No,
and a lot of these niggas base their shit off of that shit, but he based like that Memphis shit, like yeah. that the way that with that stylized flow right. like that. A-Ball and MJG was doing it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then Project Pat did it with just more ignorant lyrics.
Right.
And then, you know what I'm saying, like Gucci and, you know what I'm saying, a lot of that shit. Even like Lil Jon, even with the type of shit, Tet a Club Up type shit.
Right.
That's based off of Memphis.
Man.
That's why Juicy J can still live right now.
Mm-hmm. He talk about, the, you know, obviously his beef with Jeezy. How that went through all its little things. Mm-hmm. He talks about the shooting of the guy. Mm-hmm. He talks about it from his side, too, in the way, like I said last week, you know, when you find out somebody's gun go off, it's a different type of respect, right? Mm-hmm. But he talks about how, like, that was how everybody greeted him. Now he was feared, right? Now everybody was like, you know, Scott Storch invited him over. He's like, yo, remember the guy I told you about that killed the guy and got away with it? This is the guy, you know, that type of thing.
And you like,
yo, what's
going on? That's my intro?
Right. He's like, let me leave. He left. He said he, Bigger Rankin was introducing him to Rick Ross when Rick Ross was popping. He was like, "Yo, I want you to meet this guy. He's a hot new rapper. He's popping. He's really smart." And he says, "I don't think he was that smart because the first thing he said to me was, if I was you, I'd say on every record, I killed the nigga and got away with it."
That's what Bigger Rankin said.
No, that's what Gucci said that Rick Ross said to him first time.
Rick Ross said that to Gucci.
To Gucci. He said, "Yo, if I was you, every time I get on the mic, I say I killed the nigga and got away with it."
Rick Ross.
Yeah. He was like, man. He said that threw him off. He said later on, him and Rick was cool or whatever. But he said that was the vibe he was getting. You know? It's just always interesting to see. It gives you context. It makes you listen to the shit. You're like, oh, he was angry when he did this, or he was drunk when he did this, or like, you know, certain shit. He's like, oh, these couple albums, I was on ecstasy. I was X'd out. You could hear it in the songs and da 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 da. There's the other way. He's like, this is when I stopped writing. This is when, you know, I banged out this whole album in 4 days. And, you know, it's pretty interesting. And you see how so many people are interconnected.
Right.
You know what I mean? He mentioned having beef with, he said he dissed T.I. at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that.
Now that you say it, I vaguely remember it. But
yeah, I don't know. But so far it's pretty good, man. Y'all should check it out. I think it's just called Gucci Mane, the autobiography or something like that. Autobiography of Gucci Mane.
Martin Luther T.I., he ain't getting in too many beefs these days.
Nah, T.I. out there, you know, he like a social media civil rights act.
Reverend Jesse Tip.
Yeah, he out there, yeah. He out there doing all types of
protesting.
Mediation. Oh, he definitely
he protesting, was mediating, he doing voter registration and voter, go out and vote.
Mobilizing.
Yeah, Tip, man. I'm proud of you, man.
Yeah, man. Shout out to all of the artists that are evolving. You know, I know last week, you know, I wasn't listening back, but I was thinking back. I don't like to give artists shit for evolving.
Right.
But I'm not gonna lie, I might have some jokes. Because I was there when it wasn't as evolved. Right. So the shit is crazy to me. It's interesting. Right. I'm not saying that is it real or is it valid, but shit, it's funny sometimes. Be honest with you. Sometimes that shit is like, what? That shit is hilarious. But anyway.
Shit. What's your plans for the rest of this last little bit of year we got?
What's my plans for the last little bit of the year we got? What's my plans for the rest of this? What am I doing, man? I'm chilling. I got some shows.
Not wrap up
plans. Oh, that's what I asked. I'm like,
not where you going to be.
Okay. I'm like, well, I got some shows.
I'm just saying it just, you know.
What's my plans for the rest of the year? We're hosting Christmas at the crib. Got to get a tree.
Hold up. You hosting at your spot?
At my spot.
Oh, shit. You should be excited, Dan. That's what I'm talking about, man.
We should be. I mean, I am. I do.
What
think
you
going
to do to make
small.
It special?
I don't know. I didn't even think about all
you
of
know
that.
You know what I'm saying? They coming. They want it to be special. Yeah. This is your house.
It's cool. Yeah, we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out.
We what going should, to Damien's
let
house.
Me know. What should I do to make Christmas special?
You know what I'm saying? This is your first Christmas? Your whole first
at the
host?
House?
Yeah, your first host?
Yeah, I think so.
We going to Damien's house. This shit is fucking, this there is an occasion.
Go. There you go. Well, we'll see what happens. We're going to figure that out.
I can't wait for people to come to my house. Because I ain't never lived in a city with my family. Since I've been grown, you know what I'm saying? I live in New York. I ain't got no family here. So we go to Atlanta.
Are you a natural born host? Do you think you've been a host?
No, I'm not a natural born host. We ain't used to host people at my house. Mm-hmm. My daddy's house was shit.
Yeah.
That shit was a thinking place. You can't let a fucking think. That motherfucker to be entertained.
Fortress of solitude.
You know what I'm saying?
Shit. Get a plan together.
You don't party where you shit.
It's a library. That's funny as shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Hilarious.
So, I wasn't used to, I ain't used to none of that shit. I'm just trying to evolve.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But Thanksgivings, I have, you know what I'm saying, I've, you know what I'm saying, we've hosted Thanksgiving, not with my family, but with my New York people.
What's your favorite part of hosting?
My favorite part of hosting is when everybody, you can sit back and see everybody doing the shit that you thought they would be doing, and nobody just sitting around twiddling their thumbs and looking bored and you know what I'm saying? Looking at their phone like it's time to go and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody is enjoying themselves. You know what I'm saying? The drink is good. Everybody, the food, everybody look full and shit. Right. You know what I mean? I like that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't evolved with my host game. You know what I'm saying? So what I want to do with my host game, I want to be in such where you plan out all of the moves and you set that tone, like it's a certain people, a certain places where you go, where when you walk in, from the time you walk in the door, it's an experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So they got the shit on the door. Welcome everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucker come in, you take shoes off. They might have, you know what I'm saying, little shits for you to put on your feet if you ain't got no socks and shit. You know what I mean? It's just like all the way thinking of every detail of what a motherfucker might need.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? At some point, I'm going to be like that. I'm not
one
like,
day.
I'm not like that right now. You got to come as is, and we're going to figure it out. We're going to have a good time. Great conversation.
Wear your good socks.
You know what I'm saying? Great conversation.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever socks you got on, I ain't going to judge.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But at a certain point, I want to have my shit. I want to be able to entertain with thoughtful entertaining. You know what I'm saying? Where you think you've thought out every move that people coming into your place have to make, and you like, okay, when they come in, it's this, da da da, it's this. You know what I'm saying? Boom, sit down, motherfucker, bring you something. You got your hors d'oeuvres, you got your whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really thinking it out. And a lot of times when I'm entertaining, it's always, let's just do it right now, like tomorrow. You know what I mean? So it's never all the way thought out,
right?
Like I wanted to be, but I'm gonna practice on that because at some point I'm gonna be great at it. That would be great. Motherfuckers is going to be legendary. I went to Ali House.
That shit was a moment.
You know what I'm saying? I went to the Muhammad's and that shit was fucking great.
Right.
That's what I want.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? all the way down to I want my grandkids to be like, ah, shit, I want to go to granddad's house. Fuck all that shit.
That's where I'm going. That's where
y'all popping. Can go where you want, but mm-hmm. I'm going over here with grandma and granddad.
Shit, popping.
You know what I'm saying? That's yeah. I want that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's what's up.
I want the kids to, you know, I want my kids to want to come home because I'd rather be with my people than out there with y'all because we have it popping.
Right.
So.
How your people? Your people host, Matt?
My mother's a good host, but seeing as how we're Jewish, we don't really host for Christmas.
But what about Hanukkah? What about I'm Passover? So, being Muslim.
So don't get me wrong. I do enjoy Christmas a great deal. So we have.
I didn't get you wrong. That wasn't it.
So our holidays, we have some friends over for Hanukkah. My mom makes latkes and all that, and it's a good time. Then we go over to the same friend's house on Christmas. Well, actually, Christmas morning, we go watch a movie in Jewish tradition.
Right.
Then we go over to their place in the afternoon and eat a ham because we're good Jews.
You go eat a ham?
Yeah.
So you watch a movie.
We go to the theaters.
Yeah, Jewish tradition.
Early, tradition.
Because y'all created
Chinese in the movies. Chinese food in the movies.
But instead, we go for a ham in a movie. Right, ham in a movie. I mean, we're not the best of Jews ever, but
it's a
damn good tradition.
I heard y'all doing good. They say y'all like me in the second tier. That's what I read earlier today. Go ahead.
I was just saying.
But early morning movie? Matinee?
I mean, usually we go, like, try to go there, like, 11 or 12.
Yeah, man.
It's early as fuck.
Jewish people made the movies, man.
Damn straight.
They invented the shit.
Yeah, yeah. So Samuel Goldwyn and all that. Yeah,
there's the Nickelodeons and shit.
How about that?
You know what I'm saying? You got to respect that shit. When people talk about Hollywood and shit and, you know what I'm saying, opportunities and the blah, 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 there's a certain, at a certain level of that shit, you know, they made the shit up. Like, you know, Jewish people, they made it up. They created the shit. You got to respect it.
Yeah.
Like, you want that shit, you go make some shit up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you, you know what I mean? Like, shit, you go to Vegas, you got to respect the gangsters that went out there and made that shit up.
And created the space.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't go out there all the shit. They ain't letting no damn suckers get in the game.
Right.
It's a gangster-ass game.
Right. You got to gangster your way in.
You got to gangster your way in.
Figure it out.
You know what I'm saying? But looking at how Hollywood was built, as far as from like the Nickelodeons and just entertaining their own community, that shit is a great model.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's a great model to try to recreate if you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Will we create?
That's what I'm saying. We need to fucking recreate. We need to create some shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's everybody think you create shit is all automatically big.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Take a while.
I gotta make the new Hollywood. I'm gonna be the new such and such.
Right.
But you got to be the first. You got to be the smallest version of that first. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Or, you know, somewhere along the line, because you don't just jump and then have the juice and all the power. You work. You work your way to the power because you built it, and you built that shit from scratch.
Mm.
And then you left some shit to your kids, and then they continued to build on that, and they left it to their kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You can't go in nobody else's house and expect them to leave that shit to you.
Mm.
That ain't how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think, you know what I'm saying, just when you read that shit like that, it's like that was dope. They did that.
What movie you gonna go see?
It wouldn't shock me if it's the new Star Wars this year.
Yo, let me ask you a question. I feel like this new Star Wars, the buzz is not popping. Am I under a rock or is not there?
I think it's being a little over Disneyfied, like a little too corporate lately, and then you get the whole video game disaster with Star Wars, that people are just, it's not good PR.
What happened with the video? I didn't know what the video was.
So the whole EA scandal, you know, Battlefront 2 came out recently.
Okay.
And there was this whole scandal around EA making it so in order to actually unlock all the, they made it pay to win.
Yeah.
So in order to actually unlock all the characters, Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker and all those guys, you had to either play the game for 4,500 hours.
Mm. Damn.
Or you had to pay $2,100 extra dollars.
$2,100?
Yeah.
Not 21.
So for two extra players.
Well, to unlock everything the game had.
That's bananas.
$2,100?
Yes, $2,100.
For probably a $60 game.
Yes, you're already paying $60. So the controversy was, oh, well, you're already paying for the money. Like, this is a model that was used in games like Candy Crush, where you're not paying for it. Yeah.
Right.
And then Disney basically pressured them to take this out, but then they're going to put it back in January after the movie releases.
Wait, but Candy Crush never charged $2,100, did they?
You can spend a lot of money on Candy Crush.
Candy Crush makes something like $2 million a day.
I understand that, but is it at a $2,000 price point?
Well, depends on how crazy you are about the crush.
Well, if you're paying a few dollars a day. Every day for a year.
But I'm saying that's different. That's crackhead prices. Like, you know what I'm saying? I get to $10 at a time out you. But $2,000, that's like, you know what I'm saying?
At a clip.
You got to come in holding weight.
Well, it's similar to gambling. It's that a similar addiction to gambling that you just can't help yourself, some people.
So is that, well, to that point, is that accumulated $2,000 in a bunch of, like, you get to this level, $25 opens up. You get to this level, you want to buy these charms for $300, and it gets to 21 or 2,000 when you could unlock everything, or is it like a screen that's like, listen?
So it's loot crates where you might get things you want, or you just get crap. So you're basically gambling to try to unlock everything.
Oh, so you might not, after paying $2,000, you might not even get what $2,000 was supposed to get you.
I'm not entirely certain on that, but I think the price is you pay, like, you'll eventually get everything if you pay $2,100.
Yo, Disney's hustle is so strong on so many levels.
Oh, that's not Disney. That's not Disney. That's EA.
Oh,
that's EA. Disney's basically just sitting there in the background, like, just don't give us bad PR for this movie. Don't fuck our shit up.
George Lucas on that licensing shit. If you want motherfucking Luke Skywalker, shit's gonna cost you this.
George doesn't have jack shit to do with it anymore.
He don't have no licensing rights to the fucking shit.
He sold everything. For $4.5 billion.
Everything gone, nothing. He out the way.
He's gone.
No say so.
He's not involved.
He got his pesos and got no say so.
I mean, I think for over $4 billion, I think Disney kind of earned it.
Could you be that?
What?
I mean,
could I be what?
George Lucas right now.
Be George Lucas with $4 billion?
No, I'm saying $4 billion. Uh-huh. You sold what made you.
I'm getting the fuck out of the way.
Well, how old is George Lucas? About 70?
Yeah,
he's like similar age as Spielberg.
Shit. So what's Spielberg about 70, right?
$4 billion. Y'all can have that shit.
George Lucas is probably going to live to about 89, 94.
Okay.
So but that's about 20 some odd years.
But if he had the shit for another, that is something already getting billions.
Well, hold on.
He's 73 right now.
73. So 73, you in the fourth quarter, right? Mm-hmm. All right.
In the twilight.
There's new shit with what you created coming out, still impacting the culture. You got $4 billion, right? Now, at $4 billion, let's be honest. $4 billion is $4 billion, but that shit is abstract as fuck.
Right.
That's
because, like, he already has some billions.
Yeah, but that shit is like, did he have some billions?
He already made billions off of Star Wars already.
Okay, so you have billions already. So you're sitting on billions. They offer you $4 more billion just to walk the fuck away from the universe and everything you created. Mm-hmm. He's 73. Now, Trump is 70, so you could still be in the world at 70. 73, you still George Lucas. You still, to most people, kind of still got an answer to everything Star Wars related. Mm-hmm. Would you do it?
I mean, I'm going to do it, but you know what I'm saying?
You said you're going to do it?
I'm talking from a nigga with no billions perspective.
I know. It's a tough
but
one.
It's hard for me to imagine that he's all the way disconnected with nothing. Because I'm sure it's going to get them hot if they fuck it up at some point.
That's what I'm saying.
And then he still got Skywalker Ranch and all that shit. You know what I mean? He can't just, I can't use my own names and shit.
Well, you can always tell when one of the movies comes out. He has his comments that he's trying to reserve, but some things kind of slip out. It's like whether he was actually happy with that or not. He still sees the movies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's all good. He'll figure it out, man. He ain't hurting.
Man, he'll be all right, man.
You know what I'm saying? I met George Lucas.
Did you?
Yeah. A couple of years ago at the Scope Art Fair in New York. That with the Bombay winner, her art, she had this art, and him and his wife bought some of it.
That's what's up.
Yeah, so we.
That's right. He got a black wife, right?
Yeah, he got a black wife.
That's what's up. Shout out to George Lucas.
You know what I'm saying? George Lucas was cool. He was a regular old dude. He had on them pop, you know what I'm saying? Them dad jeans.
Regular
and shit.
Ass shit, yeah. Because everybody know. That's it. Everybody know. He don't got a dress for nobody. Nah, everybody. That's George Lucas. Who that? Through. He created Star Wars. Wow.
That's all that shit. That's shit, nigga.
That's forever.
What's your Star Wars? What's your Thriller? Oof. It was the 35th anniversary of Thriller the other day, something like that.
Yeah, that's always the anniversary. Now that we got social media, it's an anniversary of everything. Yeah. Every year, it's the 17th anniversary of this. Some of these anniversaries, we need to be chill on it.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't tripping off the anniversary, but Thriller was a cultural
it was a phenomenon.
Situation.
Yeah,
and we was talking on the phone, and I was talking to one of my homeboys and shit.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying, it's just like, what do you put thriller type of intention in the work that you do now? Like, do you put, like, in the work that you do now, do you put the amount of, do you put the intent of it to have some impact like a thriller would have? You know what I'm saying? Not that you can control that, but your intention, I'm going to put full intention on making the dopest shit that I can make.
Right. I think so. I think, hopefully, that's the goal. Hopefully, it might not all the way happen. Sometimes you're doing shit just because you got to do it, right? It's a job. It's something that needs to be done. Then there's times when you are truly inspired and you think this shit is the greatest idea you've ever had.
Right.
And it don't impact. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know. I mean, who's to know?
No,
before Thriller Metrics, there were no Thriller Metrics.
It's not to know that you're saying that this is what's going to happen. But just like, all right, so if I think about what's happening, like, so you got Quincy Jones, who's an old school.
He was 50.
He was an old school jazz dude at 49 years old or whatever.
Okay.
And Mike is on his, you know what I'm saying? He's on fucking about to do Off the Wall, right?
Right.
And then it's like.
He just did Off the Wall.
No, I'm saying, but let's not get the Thriller yet. So before that, before Quincy did a record with him, he on Motown, you know what I'm saying? What's Motown nigga name?
Barry Gordy.
Barry Gordy's like, Mike, you know what I'm saying? We're going to put you in the studio. And then Mike was like, Barry, you know, I really want to move and go in a different direction this time.
Right.
And then Barry like, what you talking about, Mike? You know, I want Quincy to do my record. Ooh, Quincy? Quincy Jones, a jazz man? That old motherfucker? Hell no, we're going to put you in with Motown. I don't really want that sound.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I want to do something different. And then.
How did Off the Wall sell?
Off the Wall was platinum something. It was dope. It wasn't Thriller, but it was.
Now, I'm just trying to figure out what his leverage would be at that moment. Would he have that type of, would he have good leverage with Barry to be like, yo, I want to do this?
No, see, this was his, I'm talking about Off the Wall right now. Off the Wall, in his first one, he break going solo, he going to do his grown man record.
Right.
And then you got the old dude.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, Mike, you know what I'm saying? Let me do your album.
This is Quincy. Right.
And then. Mike, young dude, like, well, all right, old dude, what you thinking?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then, so they get in, they cook up this formula.
Now, where does Rod Temperton come in? Because he's part of the whole
show. Because Rod Temperton is Quincy's, you know what I'm saying,
that's
right
his
hand.
Guy? Okay.
That's his guy. His, okay. That's his, like, he's like his hit maker.
Okay,
got it. You know what I'm saying? He write the hits.
Right.
So, he basically, Quincy bring in his crew of all these people he's worked with over the years making all these records and shit. And then they come in, they build something, and they do Off the Wall. It pops. It's, you know what I'm saying? Shit, one of the greatest black records, you know what I'm saying, made. I like Off the Wall better than Thriller myself, but that's just me.
Right, a lot of people do.
So you get the Thriller, and they go back, like, how are we going to top that? How are we going to top that, and how are we going to make this next shit? And you sit there, you got all these guys, and they sitting there. And they're putting all of their best energy into making the best shit to top the other best shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To the point where you just looking at the details and you fucking sleeping in the studio and the fucking speakers in the studio catching fire, all kind of shit going on.
Right.
Because it's just a lot of energy directed towards making some good shit.
Right.
And I don't think I do that on every project, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't think, you know what I'm saying, you put that level of intent in the projects. And what I would like, if I had my way, I would like to put that level of intention into the shit that you're working on. You know what I'm saying? You want to work on some shit that you feel like, yo, we can make some dope-ass shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I would like to put that level of intention in the work that I do.
Why don't you?
I ain't say that I don't. I'm just saying.
You said you don't think sometimes you don't. Put
it's like sometimes you don't, but sometimes you do. But you know what I'm saying? You have a point in your situation where, like I said, now you got to clear. You just got to clear your shit out and then get to a point where only thing you working on is the shit that make you feel that way.
Right.
And sometimes you making money, so you like, you know, man, all right, I'm going to just make this money. But even in the stitch you just making that money on, it's kind of like you still want to be like, make the money with the shit that you feel like, we can make some dope shit with, right. Here, some real dope shit. And you just have to put that intent in your life. And sometimes you sacrifice it just to keep the fucking shit moving. And I don't think in 18, I don't want to work like that in 18. In 18, from the end of 17, I want to work in a way that I'm working on the shit that I feel like can change culture, that could push culture. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So that's the intent that I want to put out there, because I've, you know what I'm saying, at a certain point, I worked just like that, you know what I'm saying, exclusively.
Right.
Shit that I felt like everything that I was doing, like, yo, this, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Then you get to a point where you grow, and then some shit you're doing is just like, eh. But it's done. I want to do shit. I want to get back to that.
Let me ask you a question. Say you were like a 25-year-old rapper. Mm-hmm. Hopping. Uh-huh. Like Kendrick.
Yeah.
I can't think of a Quincy for this generation, so mm-hmm. I'm going to say Quincy came up to you. Quincy's mm-hmm. what, 80?
Swiss Beats.
Nah, Swiss ain't Quincy, though.
But Swiss ain't young no more.
No, but he ain't young, but he's also within your genre. Like, when you say...
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Quincy was kind of the jazz cat. It was a different thing. Right. I don't know who the jazz person is right now. Michael Bolton. I don't know.
Robert Glasper,
Gregory Porter. Like, somebody like that uh-huh. came up to, like, you...
I'm 25.
Or let's fuck it. Nah, no matter of fact, let's make it Quincy. Uh-huh. He got Thriller on his resume uh-huh. from 20, 30 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And he say, hey, Kenny... You know, I heard them albums. I think you're hip. I think you're cool. But I'm trying to tell you, brother, I take it to the next level. I can see it.
It can't be Quincy because he already got Thriller on his resume. It got to be somebody who ain't got
something
that
to prove.
He got something to prove. All he ain't right. got that on his resume Let's, yet.
Damn, I wish I could think of somebody we could. Okay, Robert Glasper.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Roy Hargrove. You know what I'm saying? Who? I'm trying to think of some of these motherfuckers. Somebody like that.
Right.
Hey, Kenny. And I don't even want to do Kendrick, because Kendrick has already been in the little jazz lane. He's worked with some jazz motherfuckers.
Right.
Drake. You Drake, nigga. Uh-huh. You on fire.
You on fire.
You know what I mean? You've had maybe a couple little bit of stumbles, but your stride is still mm-hmm. running strong. Hey, brother, listen. I heard that Views and shit, and I think it was groovy, brother. But let me tell you, man, me and my man over here with these tambourines and these motherfucking cymbals, we could take it to the next level, brother. All we need is about 2 months in the studio, young blood. I'ma take your life. This is going to be transformative. Uh-huh, uh-huh. What you thinking? Uh-huh. What you think? I'm thinking, nigga, I'm thinking this feel like when Quincy and Mike got together. I see it in you, brother. And
yeah,
I mean,
I don't know. I don't know if that's a... I don't know who that one-on-one equation would be but how you would take that chance. But I'm sure it's happening every day. I'm sure there's cats out there that's worked in a whole nother genre, like Warren Campbell or something, who's done a bunch of gospel and shit like that, but then... could do a hip-hop album, you know what I'm saying?
What if Kirk Franklin came to 21 Savage, hit him in the DM, say, hey, brother, listen.
Shit.
You know, I love the Lord and all of that, but that shit you've been saying, brother, that shit, woo, good Lord.
And that shit might hit.
I got some tracks for you.
That wave, what, you know what I'm saying? Fucking Chance the Rapper, them doing BJ the Chicago Kid, and all that.
But that's Kanye, what Kirk saw talking. I ain't talking all that gospel shit. That's what they want to see me do. I got some shit. I got some shit I'm about to...
Might have it, though.
He might. I wouldn't count nobody out.
He might have it. He might have it.
But it's just such a risk. I respect it. I respect it because people live and die by that shit every day.
Mm-hmm.
And this motherfucker every day approaching the project like, this is my Thriller.
Right.
And that shit might be their motherfucking... can't think of it.
You just can't worry about that shit, though. It's just like, not that it's one-to-one, but like, putting... Rafael Sadiq and Solange together. You know what I'm saying? Is she young and she used to working with the little popping producers over here. He little Ray Ray from Oak Town. You know what I'm saying?
But even almost that kind of still makes a little bit more sense.
It does make sense, but what I see in that project that they ended up doing, his old school, old head outlook and experience.
Right.
Gave that project, you know what I'm saying, balance that she never had in her projects. Right. To me, it's like her other projects, like with Blood Orange and all them other producers, it was kind of like over here, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was kind of like, you know, frenetic. But with Rafael Sadiq, he balanced that shit out and gave it a groove all the way through.
He was focused.
He was focused, and it made the difference, I think. You know what I'm saying? That experience with that youthful, you know what I'm saying, that upstart energy.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think a lot of times that shit could work.
Yeah, man. Got to take the risk. I think it's time for us to get the hell on. Right. You got something else you want to say?
I want to say.
Say something to the people.
You know what I'm saying? People, I appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? You rocking out with us. We an hour and something in. You know what I'm saying? Y'all come through every week. Really appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? I would appreciate it more if you come check me out on the Instagram at Mr. Muhammad. You know what I'm saying? On the Snap at Thorough TV. And shit, check the player out. You know what I'm saying? Holla at me. Let me know where what your head at. You know what I'm saying? You got ideas? Throw them at me. You know what I'm saying? Shit, I'm trying to make that thriller. That I'm trying to use my thriller level intent out here in the world. Holla at your boy.
That's what's up. Shit, I'm around. I'm in the city. I don't think I have any shows coming up this week. If I do, I'm going to let you know via IG story or Twitter. But, yeah, I'm out here, man. I'm just working. You'll see me. The Comedian is streaming. Not streaming, but it's on TV.
What's that?
The Comedian is a movie with De Niro and who else is in it?
You in it?
Cloris Leachman. I'm in it brief. It's one of those quick blink and you miss me situations.
But you did make the cut.
I made the cut. I didn't get credited, though. I'm a little tight about that, but it's cool. I didn't go support the movie in the theaters. I saw it on cable. And I was excited about it till I saw it. Damn, I was on the dais. I played one of the comedians. Like, there's a roast scene. There's a pivotal scene.
You talked about this.
Yeah, I had a good time.
But you did it.
I had a good time. I forgot to cash my check because I misplaced the check.
Rich nigga shit?
Nah, it ain't. It's irresponsible shit. But shout out if you catch it, man. Keep an eye out for me. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yes, sir.
We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.